Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and this is Steve Buckley, and this is another session of Open Government Radio. Today is May 4th, 2010, and for those of you who are able to follow along on your computer, you can follow the discussion for today by going to my blog, which is on ustransparency.com, and that would be for May 4th, of course, and you can see that today's topic is evaluating the open government plans of federal agencies, and of course, there are the open government plans came out a couple weeks ago, and we'll be talking more about a little background on that. But first, I wanted to take care of a few announcements before I introduce my guests, and that is, if you scroll down to the links there, you will see. Let's see. Last week we had the Open Government Directive Workshop at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and I'm one of the minor organizers for that, but you can see the link for that. Notes, I need to post some notes myself, but notes are being posted as far as what was covered at the workshop number 4 in the series for Open Government Directives, and that's link number 8 if you go to ustransparency.com for today. And one thing I would like to note is that Beth Novak was very gracious in coming over to USDA and giving the opening remarks to the workshop. I think it was good to see for the federal employees, at least, the idea that the White House is involved in all of this, and it's not just being pushed down to their level to be dealt with. And I did notice that a lot of the attendees this time seem to be a higher percentage of federal employees, which to me indicated that it is being tasked and taken seriously in the agencies. So, and the other part is that link number 11, I just want to point people that the Open Government Directive Google group is an opt-in, opt-out moderated group that I moderate. So that's an easy way to be aware of what's going on as far as the open government effort in federal agencies. And let's see, is there something else here? No? Okay, fine. Then I'm scrolling back up to, as you can see today, like I said, is evaluating the open government plans of federal agencies. And joining me, Steve Buckley, will be Patrice McDermott of Open the Government, a coalition of organizations that recently released its evaluations of the open government plans of federal agencies. And also joining us will be Robbie Shingler of NASA's open government team that developed the open government plan judged number 1 by Patrice McDermott and Open the Government. So we'll talk about that in a little while, just now. Slowly, for those of you who are new to the open government movement, we'll give a little background on that. Under the links, you can see that there's a link to the open government memo, which begot the open government directive. But now I'll turn to Patrice and see if she's there. Are you there, Patrice?
I am indeed.
Okay. Can you, I have provided some links there, but
right,
people can follow along, but basically if you could explain something about what Open the Government is and what you've been up to.
Sure, sure. OpenTheGovernment.org is a coalition of more than 70 organizations, about half of them state-based, who work together to push for greater openness, government openness, and to push back on government secrecy. We've been in existence for right about 7 years, and I've been directing it since 2006. So because the organizations and some of our other collaborators in this evaluation are very committed to openness, and we're very pleased with the administration's new initiatives, we took a group of volunteers and took the plans that the agencies put up on April 7th and did an evaluation of them in terms of how they comply with the requirements of the directive, whether they meet the letter of the directive. And, you know, we didn't make the requirements. We just evaluated the plans in terms of them. So I should say that I didn't give give NASA the top rating. Our evaluator gave NASA the top rating, and the White House also gave them a top rating because they have a really incredible plan, and they're doing incredible things.
Okay, well, that must be very encouraging for them, of course. Most people are, most agencies are in the middle of the pack. That's, of course, what the middle of the pack is for. But, and I'm sure that they'll be looking to try to figure out how they can do better and how the better agencies manage to get those higher marks. But
sure.
I was looking at your press release, which actually is probably the best way to explain it. If people dive right into the that link number one that I posted, they might. There's a lot of text
right
there, but there the better part, of course. That's why God and created press releases, was to put it in one or two pages about. Plainer English or a shorter version to the average person, I suppose, what you've been doing there. So
Sure. Yeah, and I would also suggest that people go to that first link, the evaluation. It takes them to the site that has our overview and the audit results and the methodology, and then they can actually look at each agency's, the evaluation that was done of each agency, and they could also go and look at each agency's plans. And there's a feedback feedback slot on each of the agency pages where people who were not part of this initial evaluation can also let us, and we will share it with the agencies, but let us know what they think, you know, were outstanding or really bad parts of the agency's plans, because the end goal is, A, to have good plans, but really the end goal is for the agencies to implement these plans and move forward to becoming, you know, more open, more transparent, collaborative, and participatory. So these plans are really just a first step, but it was this first step that the government required of the agencies, so we thought it was useful to take a look at them from the public point of view.
And, of course, besides just providing plans, sometimes to make further plans, that would just be the ultimate goal or goals of the whole Open Government Initiative is to make federal agencies more, transparent, participatory, and collaborative.
Yep.
That's the bottom line. We can do all the promulgation and implementation and running around and issuing plans and so forth, but at the end of the day, or hopefully at the end of somebody's presidential term, they can look back and say that that was the case, that it was a more open to citizen review and participation. So that's the thing, of course, to keep in mind.
Right.
In any event, let me see if I'm checking my control panel here.
Yeah, see if Robbie has joined us.
Let's see. Robbie, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Very good.
Hey, Robbie.
Hi, Patrice. How are you?
Good.
And
sorry, Stephen. We've just
Yep. No, that's fine. That's just, I'm trying to make it very informal and having a discussion here. And there are a few people who are already waiting to ask some questions, I can tell. But first, Robbie, you've apparently done pretty well, I guess. Let's see. Last week, the Office of Management and Budget issued evaluations, which I guess were self-evaluations. And then, which I guess NASA, which is where you work, self-evaluated itself, I guess, pretty well. And but now Patrice has been able to with Open the Government has come out with a similar result. But I noticed some agencies didn't come in the rankings the same. But anyway, I was wondering if you could give us some sense of from NASA's perspective as far as not just these evaluations, but the whole open government effort that you've been involved with so far. Move to D.C.? You were working someplace else. Maybe give us a little background on yourself first.
Sure. So I work at NASA Ames Research Center, which is in Silicon Valley, and I work on the program side of the house where I do early concept development of new missions. But for the last 5 years or so, we've done a variety of side projects that really exemplify the principles of open government, trying to get much greater public participation in NASA's mission and trying to also increase transparency in how things are actually done and increase collaboration internally to our agency. And so when the Open Government Initiative came out, we were all extremely happy. And when the Open Government Directive came out, I kind of put my hand up and said, hey, I would like to help. And so I ended up coming out in January on a short-term detail to help to coordinate our efforts in order to respond to the directive. And then I've since extended my detail through the end of the month in order to make sure that we do what really is the point of it, which is to make sure that we not only come up with the plan, but that we come up with the approach to realistically implement it. And that's where the real rubber hits the road on here. And so that's what we're actively coming up with and making good progress on. But in particular, over the weeks, you know, the open government representatives, we met every other week in a bit of a roundtable forum that was led jointly by OMB and OSTP. And really, there was a great deal of collaboration which occurred amongst the different agencies. And as the weeks went on, it was quite obvious that something new was happening, that people were beginning to actually make significant progress internally to their agencies as people that they wouldn't otherwise expect in offices that they otherwise wouldn't expect would come forward and come up with it. Very interesting things that really are the fundamental purpose behind this open government directive. So there are many, many stories and really, really good anecdotes and stories about each agency and really making this as a bit of a movement internally to the agencies and making it part of the overall shift of how business is done within each agency. And I think it should be noted that, you know, every agency is a bit different. Ours is over 50 years old, and so there definitely are some procedures and some ways that we do things that are embedded within our culture, some of which are extremely positive and some of which could get modernized. And so some of the things that, you know, that by being a science organization, if you look at the top three, you know, EPA and NASA were both ranked very high. Mm-hmm. And it's because, you know, our community, not only, you know, they are scientists, and the way that they make progress is to share information. And so it's really actually embedded within our processes and culture that we do want to be more open and collaborative. And so it's no surprise that the science agencies are toward the top. As always, there's so much more that we can do with new tools and methodologies coming in and the changing external environment and you know, additional stakeholders that government is wanting to respond to and engage with. And it's really a matter of finding the right projects in order to change the behavior slightly, which then can and hopefully get rooted into policy, and then we can make significant progress and change as we evolve into a government that is truly participatory and that really is collaborative and looking for partnerships.
Wow.
Okay. Well, I would agree with the as an engineer, an environmental engineer at that, I would have to totally be objective in saying that I agree with the part about how the relationship between the better open government plans and the percentage of scientists and engineers at EPA and NASA, he said humbly. So,
Stephen, that's one of the things that our evaluators notice, too, is that the agencies that have had a tradition of being public-facing did much, much better in doing plans that created the sort of openness that Robbie is talking about. And the ones that traditionally have not been public-facing, that have either just faced the agencies or have sort of, from our perspective, sort of turned their back on the public, are having a much tougher time developing really, really strong plans. And, Chopra, Anish Chopra and Vivek Kundra said that most of the plans need more work, and that's true. NASA is to be really congratulated, and they did an incredible job. And all of the agencies put a lot of work and thought into this. But I do think it's true. It's not just the science agencies, but the agencies that have that tradition. It's less of a culture change for them, although I think all agencies are working to really meet the spirit of this new administration.
And I would ask Robbie, I was just reminded when you were speaking there about, culture change or, the doing things in a new way. There was Robbie, do you remember seeing a NASA video about the young female engineer who had an idea but was shot down? That came out about a year ago or something like that.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yes, absolutely. I am familiar with that. And it's a good friend and colleague. She now works at the XPRIZE Foundation.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, anyway, I should probably put a link to that somewhere. But the idea that even at NASA or places like that there's still this probably a human tendency in any organization to, touch on new ideas that threaten the way things have been done, and we all are creatures of habit. So it's perfectly understandable that if you're used to doing things a certain way and somebody comes up with a new idea, then it can be somewhat threatening if that's what your whole job has been based on and you're not sure if you can handle the new way of doing things. So you're maybe be a little somewhat reluctant and maybe even a little hostile towards all this new, stuff, especially when you're talking about collaboration and transparency. It's if you've been a faceless bureaucrat, then everybody leaves you alone, then all of a sudden to pull back the curtain and you're on a stage can be quite disconcerting.
One thing that I'd like to mention on this, and this is a really powerful tool that we have in, the early 21st century with the web and the way that people are accessing information, is that was a video that was, I believe, co-written and produced by a four-time astronaut. And they kind of did it on their side project time, so their own time. And they put it out publicly, right? They put it onto YouTube. Now, I may be getting the history wrong, but I think that's what they have done. And that definitely got passed around internally to NASA, as you could imagine. And it has made, positive, it has encouraged positive dialogue to occur. And so one thing that I've found is that you can influence your agency from the outside a little bit by actually being part of the external environment that's changing and shifting. And this is something that we're just right at the precipice of trying to figure out the difference between work and life. And, if you have a Twitter account and you're Twittering during work hours, and this is something that I think everyone is, within government at least, is trying to really understand how to do this, how to issue guidances, but then necessarily, you know, not be too restrictive on certain things as well. But that was definitely an early example of the power of having something go a bit viral. And there have been a number of those that have happened at NASA, and now there are a number of people who blog on NASA.gov, like Linda Curitan, who's the responsible official for Open NASA, our CIO. She has a very popular blog, and she puts some stuff out there that's definitely her perspective, but it does end up shifting a bit of the internal perception and knowledge of priorities. And you can actually influence your agency by using some of those new tools. So you can influence your agency from the outside as well as through the existing channels.
That's interesting.
And it basically, for Patrice's benefit, it was a short YouTube video, kind of like a shoot the messenger type.
Right. No, I remember hearing about it. I'm not sure if I ever
yeah,
saw it.
Yeah, it's done pretty well. But the but sometimes, you know, it's funny because you're talking about undiscussable issues that, you know, well, why don't we try it this way? But then, you know, you keep bite your tongue if you know your boss won't like it. So you don't never bring it up. It becomes undiscussable. And so even the idea by putting out the video, it was talking about the undiscussable issue of the fact that there are undiscussable issues. I mean, the idea that you're not allowed to raise things because I think everybody likes to think that they're that they as a boss are open. I have an open door policy, and so forth.
Right.
Everybody likes to think they're open minded, but you send signals sometimes with the way, or not you, but
sure,
people.
Sure, but I think Robbie's point about how that even that people who work for the agencies, you know, aside from all of us outside government, but people who work from the agencies also have new avenues for influencing their agencies through all these new media. And I think that's really, really profoundly important. I think it really is going to change and create difficulties along the way, but it really is going to change not only how government participates and collaborates with its publics, but how it does so with its own staff. And I think we're, as Robbie said, we're right at the cusp of something really important, and it's very exciting to watch. And I was excited to hear, and I heard some of this at some of the meetings that we were at, how from Robbie, how in their discussions with other agencies, they were hearing about, you know, new partners within agencies who'd never thought about transparency or participation coming forward with ideas about how they could change what they're doing. So I think it's infectious in a good way, and we're going to do everything we can to encourage the agencies and whatever we can do to help them to really challenge themselves to keep moving forward, because as I said somewhere in one of our things, you know, openness isn't an end state. It's a process, and it's a practice, and it's ongoing. So there are always going to be new challenges, and we're always going to be pushing them from the outside, and I hope they're pushing themselves from the inside.
Well, on that note, I will I do have a question, one more question, I guess, that I wanted to touch on, but and I will, we will, like I said, turn to some of the phone calls,
sure,
the callers, and I know if either of you need to let me know if you need to leave for a meeting. I had talked with you before, but I'll ask you right now. Either of you have a meeting at 3 or before then or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
I need to get off probably within the next 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay, well,
yeah.
Then I need to ask. Then
yeah.
Let's very quickly ask, I have like one question, and then we'll try to take some calls and go from there. What about you, Robbie? Do you have something at 3 o'clock, did you say, or can you?
I think I have about 15 minutes.
Okay. Okay, fine. And then even if both of you leave, I can talk with the callers.
Sure,
or
great. Sure.
With my sock puppet here. So,
there you go.
Anyway, Patrice, you were talking about, moving to a new way of doing things and so forth and being open and transparent. And so when I was looking at the press release, which I said is on the is link number one on the blog there. People who want to read the press release can just go there, and link number one, the second link, I guess, under that, it says press release. But it says, I'm curious, as a former auditor myself within the federal government, I was trying to get a sense of how many, I was curious, I guess, who is doing what type of people or background the auditors.
Sure, and there's
the
actually
evaluators you had. And
sure,
and
there's
a listing at the very
right,
end.
Right, there's a listing at the end, and also if you go to the Google Sites, the site for the evaluation project, they're all listed there, and they're actually listed linked to which agencies they evaluated. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe
and
you could point that, because I was looking around. Can you tell me, let's see, is it link number one that people should click, the first?
Link number one, and then if they go down to,
I'm on that
I think
page.
They have to go to about this project, which is in the left-hand column.
Left about this project. Okay,
or
right.
Down at the very bottom
correct.
Of the...
No, it is on the left-hand side.
Okay, and if they go all the way down to... Well, let's see, evaluators. At the bottom of that page in the subpages, if you scroll down...
Okay, hold on a second. I have an older
below
computer.
The slideshow.
the American Library Association.
Right, but if you go below that, to the subpages, there's one that's called evaluators.
I see.
It's a little buried, but
yeah. No, I'm sure people who maybe didn't fare so well in your evaluations would say, you know, if I was that person, I would say, well, who are these? You know, and why didn't I get a 2 or a 1 or a,
well, and what we're doing actually, and Robbie, you'd be at the end of the list because you scored so well. But what we're doing is sending out to each agency the worksheet that the evaluator did that contains the comments and the justifications for the various scores. And we're inviting them, if they want to have a conversation with their evaluator, you know, we're inviting them to let me know, and I will put them in touch. And some agencies got directly in touch. The White House shared a list that we had sent them previously, and some of them changed at the last minute. So a lot of the agencies know who their evaluators are and have already reached out directly, but there's been one conversation already. There's another one that's happening tomorrow. There's a couple more that are in the process of being set up. So, you know, this was not a gotcha project on our part. It was, you know, a good faith effort to evaluate good faith efforts. And we do want to let people understand, let the agencies understand how they got the scores they did. But we're not sharing those with the general public because we think they're useful for the agencies, but it's the candid comments of the evaluator. So.
So what?
So we think they, you know, they're best shared just directly with the agency. Our evaluators agreed to do that. They did not agree to share them with the general public.
Oh. Well, if you kept somebody, I mean, I can see how someone would want to keep their identity anonymous, confidential, but yet some person have, say, more input. I used to work at the Department of Energy for 3 years, so...
Sure, and there's
why should
feedback...
they have more...
Right,
you know,
and there's a feedback form at the bottom where anybody who reads the plans and has a different assessment of how the agency did is invited to make their, you know, to make their comments. Or you can... with spreadsheet and send it to us. You know, we'll be happy to share that with the agency too, or you could share it with them directly. But this was a project that had a finite list of volunteers and a finite timeline. And so we're protecting the, you know, the candid comments. We'll call them deliberative, but we are sharing them with the agencies.
But at the same time, and this might be a way to for you to be as open and collaborative as you would like.
We're being open and collaborative with the government. We really don't feel the need. This is an exchange between the evaluators and the agencies. The evaluation, final evaluation forms that are posted on the website are our exchange with the public and with the agencies, although most of them can't use the Google site. They're blocked by their servers. But we're not sharing the comments, the candid comments of the evaluators with anybody but the agency that received them. So,
well, what about people who want to collaborate with Open the Government about the methodology that you're trying?
It's over. we know, Stephen, that you have had issues with our methodology, and it is what it is. It wasn't perfect, but it took the letter of the directive and, looked at the agency plans in terms of the letter of the directive. How about, since both of us have to go in just a couple of minutes, getting to some of the questions from your audience?
Sure, sure. No, I just want to point out that your press release does say that you're working, that you're, the standards that you're working on are still being developed. So if there's nothing.
No, that's not the standards that are being developed. That's the openness floor, which is the sort of follow-on, our suggestions to the agencies about what are the basic minimal things that should be on every website across the government consistently. And certainly we invite people to send us ideas on what's in that openness floor document, which is also on the evaluation project website somewhere,
yeah.
Buried somewhere there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's what's still open.
Yeah, no, I was just pointing out that since your methodology is at best version 1.0, so it should be open,
sure,
to the possibility of improvement. And
we're not going to be doing this evaluation in this way again, and we're going to be working with university researchers to develop an evaluation for the sort of for when we go back and actually look at the implementation of the plan. So can we get to the questions?
Sure. I'll pick one now. Okay. Hi, I've got a caller here from 202 area code. Well, they're all 202. So, caller, can you identify yourself? Or if you want to, you don't have to, but is somebody there? Okay, and that's okay if they're just listening. I'll go to someone else. If you want to ask a question, is there a caller there?
They gave
listening
up.
Too. No, they're listening. I can tell from my control panel. That's okay. People can just be listening. And we have someone else give a shout out or a talk out. I've got another caller. Hello. Okay. Now see, that's the thing. And here's another one. Let's try this. Hello. Is there someone there?
Hello.
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 Yes. Okay, a caller there. Do you have a comment or question for our guest?
Am I on?
Yes,
okay.
You are.
This is Chris Berendez calling. Yes, I do have a question, and that it somewhat came up actually in the interaction between Steve and Patrice, which is that there's one way of looking at that says that openness is good, more openness is better, openness is now part of the mission of each agency. I'd prefer to say, can't we see openness as a way for agencies to fulfill their existing missions for two reasons. One is because I want the NRC, NASA, et cetera, to do well by their missions. And number two, if you conceive of it that way, they're more likely to do it. And it was interesting what you said about scientific agencies doing better with that. And so what strikes me is that to some extent agencies need to reconceive of their missions in a new open era.
Robbie, so maybe you should take that first.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I can only speak from NASA, but I'm pretty sure other agencies have similar processes. But, we have three or four core documents, which really get at our core management processes and strategic plans and so forth. And some agencies, it kind of gets redone every half decade or so. And so it kind of depends on where they are in the cycle of that as to whether or not you can bake in openness as a core principle or a core value or even actually like a goal as part of the ethos of the agency. And at least from a mission standpoint, we are very requirements-driven. And so what we do put into our strategy documents fall down into everything. Every program, more or less, has to point back to one of the major goals. Our performance plans, for instance, I can tell you as a federal employee, I have to point to which of the strategic goals that I'm accomplishing by what I do in my own individual job. And so I think it kind of depends on where agencies are in that cycle as to whether or not you can put openness into a core element of what they do in order to fulfill their existing missions. At least for NASA, I can say that this year is a very exciting year for us as we're turning we're looking forward to what we do beyond the space shuttle and the extension of the International Space Station, and we're redoing our fundamental documents right now. And so we have essentially an overlap of about half of our internal working group that worked on the Open Government Plan are actually working on the new NASA strategic plan. And so we have an opportunity to actually bake those into our strategic plan. And it will be interesting to see where that falls out because, of course, you know, you want to keep it very, very targeted. It may become a value or it may become a goal, but we'll actually see what comes through that process. But let me actually say one more thing. What we did with our plan is we tried to not turn this into a new reporting requirement. We really tried to put it into the methodologies and the procedures that we currently have in place. You know, we have the Performance and Accountability Report, or the PAR, and this is what we actually hold each one of our mission directorates and each one of our missions to, and that's what we measure them by, and that's what they actually work toward. And so while within our plan we had a number of goals for each one of the different topic areas, the key message there is actually in our framework and governance document, which is about 5 pages long, which then talks about the different types of objectives and performance measures that we are putting into the PAR. So we're not changing how people are doing business, we're just measuring and monitoring new things. And I think that incremental development in doing it in that way makes it so that a shift toward how business is conducted isn't so radical. So whether or not we get it into this cycle of our strategic plan, it definitely is in there in what we're measuring, what we're monitoring, and how we currently operate and do business. And so it may actually end up making into the next one if it is too much of a leap.
And I think that is why, one of the reasons why NASA got as high a score as it did, because it did those sorts of things. And, you know, building it into the mission and tying these initiatives, the transparency, participation, and collaboration, was one of the things that the White House was definitely looking for. And I know that the a working group of the agency people who were working on these plans developed their own set of leading practices and, the establishing the governance and sustainability, but also in their practices document, tying it to the mission, not changing their mission to reflect this necessarily at this point, as Robbie said, but tying what they're doing into what the mission of the agency is one of the things that is being sought. So that was a very good question. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It does sound like a lot of insider talk. It sounds like, for instance, if 10 years ago you had listened to a company that said, well, we're going to start using the Internet, we've got distributed servers, we're using the IP stack, we're using HTML, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, would have been very interesting. But to hear, come to our website, click on a link, 30 seconds later you've ordered a book that will be there in 2 days, right? What I just got from...
I don't think that's what the plan say.
No. Well, what I'm hearing here is more the emphasis on the means, the openness, the checklist, not so much you'll get the book or whatever it is, whatever the benefit is to the public or particular stakeholders. quickly, it is the mechanics. We're running all these mechanics. It's not so much you'll get the book or you'll be safer at nuclear power plants or whatever it is.
But I think the point is, at the point I made earlier, at least for me, that these things, the transparency and collaboration and participation, are practices and processes. Mm-hmm. You can call them mechanics, but I think, delivery of services and making that faster and all is better, and certainly making, nuclear plants safer and all of that. It's not so much a service as a goal. And
sure.
I think that these processes and the changes to them and the changes to the practices of government are how we, the public and Congress and the administration move government to enable us to hold the agencies accountable for making things safer or for, being accountable to the law in the case of the Justice Department or all sorts of things. So I do see it more as changing the processes and the practices, and I do think that's an ongoing sort of thing. So I don't see it. Some of it is mechanics, but some of it's just really hard culture change.
And one thing that I'd like to mention as well, I actually agree with both of what you're saying. But back to my point earlier when you mentioned the culture change video and stuff like that went out. If agencies can select N projects, a number of projects that we can get our hands around and implement, and it's met with welcome participation from external groups, then that actually creates momentum and incentive for more of that to occur. But that would not get sustainable unless you actually get at how business is done internally to government. And so that's why I think that we kind of need to do both. And
mm-hmm.
And we attempted mm-hmm. to do both within our plan, is to make sure that we begin to bake this into how decisions are made, how funding is allocated.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't very, flashy stuff, but it actually is the way that it works. But then if we combine that with an element of a number of pilot projects that potentially can turn into projects, that can turn into programs, and we build that momentum forward and we actually build a constituency and an external stakeholders that begin to actually, understand a little bit more about what we're doing and to make it more useful for them, we could get to the point where we have the book delivered in 2 days or whatever the book actually is. But
right.
I think that it's a multi-pronged approach. And again, the other point is that that we're kind of at the beginning stages of putting this together into a semblance of an integrated strategy.
Right.
And before you both, I did want to ask one question, and I want to remind the audience here that we have Patrice McDermott with Open the Government and .org, and Robbie Shingler from NASA's Open Government team. But if a person wanted to, or maybe somebody from another agency, doesn't matter who, somebody from outside of NASA wants to collaborate and be helpful, and whether it's evaluating or providing comments, rather than going through Patrice, is there a place that they can collaborate?
Sure. Well, what are the
actually,
places?
I'm asking Robbie.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I am looking, I guess, at nasa.gov/open, and I see a little icon there that says discuss, but rather than having me click all over here, is there a place there, Robbie, for people to collaborate directly and have access, even if they're not part of the coalition?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we've learned a lot through the citizen engagement process that using the IdeaScale platform that GSA provided for the agencies, and we're currently doing a lessons learned, and actually we put in our preliminary lessons learned within the appendix of our plan, and so we're looking at other platforms to make sure that we actually shape it accordingly. I'm very active in online communities, so recognize that the goalpost that we put in really kind of, that constraint actually drives creativity, and if you keep it really
right.
wide open, you can get stuff all the way across the board. So what I'm very interested in doing is coming up with a methodology internally at NASA so that our programs can use these types of engagement tools for great utility for them. And so we're currently evaluating other platforms at the moment and seeing what we can do with customizing the IdeaScale platform. Right now what we have is we do have a customized new IdeaScale platform that's out there, but we're coming up with what we call our operational concepts internally. Sorry, we're very mission-focused here. and it's called ConOps, of course. And so that hasn't gone live yet, and it will shortly, or a different version. We're currently looking at a couple of other ones. But in the meantime, the main way to do it is through our, you know, opengov@nasa.gov email, and through our contact page has about four different areas where you can actually get a hold in order to provide comments on these activities. But Patrice, what's going on with other agencies and also for the whole open government community in general?
Well, I was going to say that, you know, certainly on the evaluation project site, there's a feedback form, and then there's also the Google Group Open Government Directive that Open the Government set up back last year and that Stephen has served as a moderator for, where we invite people to come and comment on the plans, on the process moving forward, any of the above. We do want to hear from everyone on their thoughts on these, on the agency plans, and you know what we should be looking at going forward. So I hope, Robbie, that NASA will share what you develop with other agencies, because I know many agencies that we've talked to anyway are struggling with just the same things.
No, absolutely. I mean, we're looking into it as well, and we are sharing across board. In fact, I believe that there's an OSTP chaired group called the Ideation Community of Practice, and we're all trying to figure out, you know, what the metrics are. And of course, we have a variety of some constraints to get around in order to do this. So NASA's actively a part of that working group, and we're trying
to do
it together. But we're also trying to do it timely so that we know that this is fresh. And And with anything online, I mean, if it's not new, then you know, the next thing comes up. So we're trying to get something quickly, but we also want to make it in such a way that we can have the process to be responsive. And so we're currently going through that, working as quickly as we can.
Great.
Is there a link anywhere that Beth Novick mentioned that when she was on a couple of weeks ago, the Ideation Community of Practice? And is that, I mean, how would, I know a lot of developers who are trying to find, you know, this killer app or, you know, the next thing that people will use, perhaps, you know, they've been using IdeaScale, but is there any type of link or a way for those people to say, hey, I've got this thing that's already done and you don't have to reinvent the wheel, or is there some access to that group?
So, to my knowledge, I do not know, quite frankly. But I do know that that the General Services Administration, they did release an RFQ, but with RFP,
oh, yeah.
maybe for quote, but without money, I think it was. I'm not really quite sure. But they are currently evaluating a variety of open source and closed source tools that are on the market that could potentially be, that they could do the legwork for the rest of the agency. And I really do want to commend GSA for actually stepping up a lot more and recognizing that, you know, we're at a changing point within government, and they're trying to do everything they can to get the policies, come up with the training, and use the right tools, and have it be a clearinghouse there. The new media team over there is really doing a great job. And so we're actively supporting them with, you know, our context and our perspectives on things, but I think that they are going to be the one to end up leading the way for the government for actually assisting people to agencies and programs to actually use these tools as part of how they do business.
Right.
Well, since you mentioned that, GSA, yes, and that's where I posted my ideas for open government. And if you go to opengsa.ideascale.com, then you'll see that the most popular idea got a whole whopping 24 votes was mine on internal transparency.
Great.
You will find the video. So that
okay,
we were
I'm going to have to get off.
Yep.
But thank you
okay,
very much,
Patrice.
And thank you to your listeners.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks for coming, Patrice. Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye.
So anyway, but I was just saying that video, for the people who are listening, if they go to that link, internal transparency idea that I had on GSA. That if you go further, far enough back, you will find that NASA video that we were talking about earlier. So I just remembered that I did link to that one time. But Robbie, are you still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Just wanted, you're leaving. You said your temporary duty had been extended through the when?
Yeah, it's through the end of the month, and we're doing a great job in here. We just had a large meeting today about data.gov and sourcing new data sets and how to really make that sustainable. And so we're actively setting up work teams to make sure that, that we can move forward with this momentum that, that was started out of the Open Government Directive. So through the end of the month is what we're setting up, and we've got a lot of work to do before then, and as well as kicking off in the right direction. So. But I'm pretty confident that that the team is really gelling together, so we're looking great.
And so at the end of May, you'll go back to Ames?
Yes, that is correct.
And still be that's, involved, but...
that's the current plan, yes.
Oh, okay. Fine. So, let's see, the Open Government team at NASA, you're not... Are you the head or not the head, or what is your...
Yeah, so I'm the executive officer, I guess you can say it. I'm the one who does represent on behalf of the CIO, the agency, and the intergovernmental working group activities, and I had the pleasure of being able to work on this full time for the last 2.5 months, and so I think that that kind of focus allowed us to really pull together a very good. Working group internally with people from the mission side, mission support side, and come up with a really good plan. But yeah, now what we're doing is we're creating a charter for an open government working group at NASA with a variety of work teams that are underneath it. And you know, the word charter, you know, may not mean a lot to the listeners, but internally in the government, it means that we actually are setting up things to make sure that we're held accountable and that we do minutes and that we actually make it a part of some people's performance plans and so that we actually bake it in. And the place where that's going to sit is going to be within the CIO's office. That's what we're setting up this month is going through the formalities of making that happen and also finding the right individuals and to make sure that we also have representation from the 10 NASA field centers as well.
Okay, so will you maintain that role even though you go back to California? But is someone going to be take over for you, or I was just trying to figure out how that if there's any shift in responsibilities.
As I mentioned probably in my introductory remarks about being passionate and working on some of these things on my own time, even outside of my main job. When I was at NASA Ames, I'll definitely still be involved, and I definitely am, you know, excited to continue to be involved and to make sure that we do have good continuity and sustainability of this overall effort, and that momentum only continues to build. So there will be some opportunities for some details to come out to NASA to kind of end up playing NASA headquarters from the centers to end up playing a bit of the role that I played in developing the plan. But actually coming out for a longer period of time and playing the same role that I've played, and we're currently seeking to find people for that right now.
Okay, fine. There's a new caller here. I let me just see, like, if they've been waiting patiently and see if they have a question for you and or I or a comment. Is there a caller there? Hello. Yes, they're just listening, and that's just fine. So, as you may know, Robbie, sometimes, like I said, the culture doesn't. You don't want to out yourself sometime if you have different ideas, or even if you're listening. So it's perfectly understandable why people want to find out what's going on, but just hang back, especially if they have dangerous ideas that might challenge, you know, about. Openness and transparency and so forth and so on. Is there anything that you would like to point to before, you know, we have about 5 minutes left? Of course, I know you said you have to go to another meeting at 3, is that right?
Yes, that's right. So I guess the last thing that I will mention is just a little bit about our plan. Our plan is long. If you print it out, it's over 100 pages long. But we purposely structured it in such a way that it's very digestible for the web.
It's nasa.gov/open, and then you can find links from there to the plan.
Right, nasa.gov/open/plan. And what we did is if you go to that page, you scroll down the bottom and there are 25 links, and those are what we call fact sheets. And every fact sheet, every project or initiative that we highlighted in our plan follows the same structured approach. And so they have call-out boxes for anecdotes about, you know, kind of trying to put a story around why this was selected to be highlighted, as well as, you know, a description of the overall initiative, explicitly how it fits into open government. Then, as I mentioned earlier, a bit of a timeline for the goals that project, that initiative has at 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, and 2 years. It's intended to try to be as easy to kind of browse through and digest. And after you kind of read one fact sheet, you can kind of skip around and find the things that you're looking for that are of interest to you.
Those are four boxes. I was looking for 25 to jump out at me, and I see it now, but there are four divisions and four boxes with bullets under those, and that's what you're referring to.
That's right. And going from left to right there, we have them. For each one of our four major mission directorates, which kind of talks in plain English about a bit of the overview of what we do at NASA. Then it's ongoing open government initiatives. These were the things that were highlighted in the transparency element of the open government plan that we had to comply with, and things that we've been doing for a long time. New open government initiatives, these are things that are kind of within the last year or so that have been pilot projects that we kind of wanted to highlight. Then our three flagship projects is the last section.
And I was just pulling up a letter to transparency advocates. Is that?
Yeah, so that's one of our two appendices. And so we wrote a letter to the transparency advocates essentially saying, that we look forward to doing continued engagement with them. Then if you scroll down, we did our own compliance matrix. So we took the plan and we broke it apart into each one of the different paragraphs. Then we linked to which page within the open government plan they can actually find the answer to it. So we did a bit of a compliance matrix ourselves before we released the plan to make sure that we didn't miss anything.
Okay. And this is Transparency Advocates is that little t, little a, as opposed to, you know, like Open the Government Coalition, or, I mean, it's an open
letter? Yeah, it's little t, little a, that's right. It's really for this, you know, the community in D.C. and elsewhere that are really excited about this overall movement of transparency in government.
Okay, so I guess basically it's that for those who don't belong to a coalition inside the Beltway type of nonprofit organization, if they just have an idea, they can still have same kind of access, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this was not intended to have any sort of preferential access. What it was intended to do is to talk to the people who would be looking at our plan to make sure that we evaluated it correctly, more or less. And so those obviously are people part of Open the Government Coalition and other people as well that are interested. And so while we did a compliance matrix ourselves internally, we just decided to put that in as an appendix to publish it. And then we put a couple of paragraphs before that appendix, and we titled it, you know, a letter to the transparency advocates.
Okay, great. Well, the lady is talking in my ear. She says 90 seconds, well, probably 60 seconds now, so it's time to wrap up. Thank you, Ravi Shingler from NASA's Open Government team. Here on Open Government Radio, I'm Steve Buckley, and be sure to tune in next week where, tentatively speaking, we're going to have somebody from the EPA Open Government team talk to us about their progress, which seems to be, like we said, close to what you're doing there at NASA. And so good luck, Robbie, and I'm sure we'll be crossing paths again. And for those listeners who would like to call in, I say, you know, call, want to encourage callers, and you can leave a post or a comment. We're always open to new ideas about how to make this program even better. So thanks again, Robbie.
Great. Thank you, Steve. Take care.
Okay. Talk later.